All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesach and daf Samach Alf. We're a little bit behind. We're on daf Samach, so let's make our way back to where we should be. We are discussing Karban Pesach. We're discussing Machshava Shel Lishmo, and so we are deep into the world of Kachim, and this is where we will be for the next little while. The fifth parak, sixth parak, seventh parak, and eighth parak deal with inyanim of Kachim, and specifically Karban Pesach. And not until the ninth parak is talking about Pesach Sheni, and tenth parak is back to the Seder night. But in the meantime, however, regarding the Karban Pesach, so what did we learn back in the Mishnah? Although we're going back now to Nun Tesamud Beis, so the Mishnah told us that if I have a machshava of shelo lishmo by the Karban Pesach, that's no good; it disqualifies. Now, some of the basics that we already went over, but just quickly to review, because again, we're in the world of Kachim, it definitely requires review. So when it comes to doing the avoda of any carbon, so there are four essential avodas. There's the shechting of the carbon, the kabbalas adam, the accepting of the blood. There's the holacha, the walking the blood over to the mizbech, and the zrika, and then the sprinkling of the mizbech. These are the four essential avodas when it comes to a carbon. And we know that if I have a thought, and let's assume, like we did yesterday, like we generally do, that to have a thought, the Kohen is expressing, is articulating the thought, so that not only is he thinking, but we know he's thinking it because he says it, and he formalizes the thought in word. So if he has a thought and he says it, I'm shechting it not for Karban Pesach, but for another carbon, Karban Shlamim, any other carbon, so it disqualifies the Karban Pesach, as we noted yesterday. The general rule is that when a person does the avoda and he has shinui kodesh and he has a change of intent when shechting the karban, so generally speaking, what's the effect of that? So generally, the effect of it is that the karban still is good, but it no longer is credited to the owners. It's lo alu lo labalim. That's generally speaking. The two exceptions to that rule is karban chatas, karban pesach. Karban chatas, which is not our discussion. Beginning of Zvachim, we discussed Karban Chatas. Karban Chatas, if the Kohen shechts the Karban Chatas and thinks of any other carbon, Karban Shlamim, Karban Ola, so the Karban Chatas now is disqualified, it's pasul. And the same thing is true regarding Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach, where the Kohen shechts or does any one of the avodas and thinks not about Karban Pesach, but says this is Karban Shlamim or any other carbon, so it disqualifies the carbon. So that is a machshava of shelo lishmo. Good. What we learned back in the Mishnah is that even if the Kohen were to have two thoughts in his head, and then let's say the Kohen were to think to himself of both Lishmo and Shelo Lishmo, doesn't matter. He's upset the Karban by having the Machshava Shelo Lishmo, and therefore the Karban is going to be disqualified. That is essentially what we learned back in the Mishnah, and the Gemara dealt with one very basic question. So what we're going to do today is we're going to continue where we left off yesterday. We're in the middle of Samach Amud Aleph. We're like about halfway down on the Amud. And we're starting with the words Tashma. Now, the question that the Gemara dealt with yesterday is the following. We have two general positions amongst the Tanaim. We have Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabbi Meir says that when a person makes a declarative statement, so tfos lashon rishon. So the first thing that he says is critical, and then anything after that, we can just simply ignore. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. And then there's the shita of Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says no, that you take a totality of the person's statement. If a person makes a statement, you look at the beginning of the statement, the middle, and the end of the statement, and you put the entire statement together. These are two very basic, fundamental viewpoints in terms of how we look at how we look at compound statements. Do we just take the first statement, or do we take the totality of the statement? Now, let's say in one avoda, meaning not in various avodas, but in one avoda, let's say the avoda of Shechita, the Kohen during that avoda says, I'm shechting it lishmo and shelo lishmo. Okay? So, and specifically that example. He says, I'm shechting it lishmo and shelo lishmo. So now let's take our two approaches. If we take Reb Meir's approach, so he said lishmo, we're good. Because he shechted it shelishmo. Now, what about the fact that he said shelo lishmo after that? Doesn't matter. Tfos lashon rishon. I take on the first thing that he says. It was lishmo. Therefore, it's going to register as a good karban. According to Rav Yossi, however, so Rav Yossi looks at the totality of the statement. The totality of the statement was lishmo and shelo lishmo. I have to take both statements in mind. It's true. He had a wonderful machshava to start off with, but then afterwards he had a machshava shelo lishmo. So therefore, according to Rav Yossi, it's not going to be good. The shechita is not going to be good because you have to take the totality of the statement. And so the question that the Gemara deals with, it's a very simple question, is in our Mishnah, Our Mishnah describes a scenario where the Kohen who was doing the Avodah had two machshavas, one of Lishma, one of Shalom Lishma. Or Shalom Lishma, Lishma. But let's again deal with specifically with Lishma and Shalom Lishma. So the Mishnah had that example. Was that talking about where it was within one Avodah? Or is that talking about where it was in two separate Avodahs? Or to put the question otherwise, is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir? Or is it going like Rabbi Yossi? You see, if it's going like Rabbi Meir, so then the case of the Mishnah has to be where they were two separate avodas. Because remember, Rabbi Meir is going to cut off the Kohen after his first thought. If his first thought was Lishmo, good, done. What he says after that, we ignore. So therefore, the only way the Mishnah would work according to Rabbi Meir is that during one avoda he had Lishmo, during the second avoda he had Shelo Lishmo. That would be Rav Meir. That's how Rav Meir would understand the Mishnah. However, if the author of our Mishnah is Rav Yossi, so then all this could occur within one avoda. Within one avoda, you can have a machshava of Lishmo and Shelo Lishmo in one avoda. So that is the question of the Gemara: is our Mishnah authored by Rabbi Meir or is it authored by Rav Yossi? So this is the Gemara's question. Yesterday we went through the first proof of the Gemara. The Gemara left the question on. There was nothing. We couldn't prove it from the first point of the Gemara. So now we're continuing. We're in the Gemara Tashma. It is about halfway down on the Amud on Samach Amud Aleph. Behind me, okay. Tashma, right in the middle of the Amud. It's the last three words of the line. It's Tashma. The line begins with the words La Avoda. Tashma, the Gemara continues, O Shalom Lishma V'Lishma Pasol. The Mishnah presents a scenario where the Kohen does the Avoda has in mind Shalom Lishma, followed then by Lishma. Now, Hechi Dami. Now, that case in the Mishnah, what exactly is that case talking about? Inem Abishay Avodos. Is that talking about in two separate Avodos? Hashta Lishma V'Shalom Lishma Amart Pasol. Well, I kind of don't need it then, because the Mishnah opened up with a case of Lishmo followed by Shelo Lishmo. And the Mishnah says, well, that's puzzle. So Shelo Lishmo V'Lishmo Mibaye. So once I know sequentially, if I have the Lishmo followed by Shelo Lishmo, that's no good. So if I had to reverse it, that for sure is no good. It's obvious. Meaning, think about it. He opened up with Shelo Lishmo. It's obviously no good. So Allah b'avodah achas. So it must be that if the Mishnah is giving me another scenario, there's got to be a bigger chiddush. You know what the chiddush is? He had both machshavas in one avodah. That's what the Mishnah must be referring to. Now, if we concluded that the second half of the Mishnah is talking about within one avodah, so the first half of the Mishnah also has to be talking about one avodah. We generally assume that the Mishnah is presenting one construct case. So we assume that second half one is within one avoda, first half is within one avoda. So this is now the Gemara is arguing that our Mishnah is talking about where the Kohen had both machshavas within one avoda, and that would mean that the Mishnah is following the position of Rav Yossi, that you take the totality of the statement. So the Gemara says, "Lo olam shei avodas v'dinhu de lo itzrichlei." So the Gemara deflects, and the Gemara says, "No, not necessarily. It could very well be that the Mishnah is talking about within two avodas. What was our point? It's unnecessary." So the Gemara says, you know, sometimes the Mishnah does that. The Mishnah sometimes writes unnecessary, what could be viewed as extraneous words in the Mishnah, but to keep the symmetry. Remember, the Mishnayos always have a nice sing-song to it. It's almost like poetic. So in other words, we want to have a nice construct of Mishnah where I have this case versus this case. This case versus this case. We like the contrast in the Mishnah. V'ai did the tan lishmo v'shelo lishmo tan anami shelo lishmo v'lishmo. And since the Mishnah gave us a scenario of lishmo and shelo lishmo, so then the Mishnah gave us the inverse of shelo lishmo lishmo, even though the second case is already obvious after having learned the first case. Tashma. The Gemara says, okay, let's now try to analyze it this way. What we're going to do now is we're going to jump ahead to the next Mishnah. We haven't seen this Mishnah yet, obviously, but this Mishnah is coming up on today's daf. And the Mishnah discusses the following scenario. Shechter shelo la'ochlav. Let's say I shecht the Karban Pesach for people who can't eat the Karban Pesach for whatever reason, which we'll talk later this morning. Okay, so I'm shechting, and who do I have in mind? Nobody who can eat it. Okay, they're fine. Shelo, again, don't ask me motivation. I can't help you there. But we're just talking about the facts, the results. V'shelo limnuyav, or let's say, you know, there has to be registration over your Karban Pesach. Well, it's a big discussion. We'll talk about that at length. You have to register for the Karban Pesach. Now, I don't think there are any forms to fill out. I don't think there's, you know, the online registration for the Karban Pesach. Okay, b'mehera b'yameinu. But in other words, but you have to register. You have to appoint yourself over a particular Karban Pesach. So let's say I have a group registered over this Karban Pesach, and I shechter for people who are not registered. No good. V'shalolim nuyav la'areilim. Or, as we'll learn in the Mishnah later on, let's say I shechter for people who are not circumcised. People who are uncircumcised cannot eat Karban Pesach. And according to Rashi, it doesn't matter why they're uncircumcised. Meaning, even if it was an ones, right? Let's say his brothers died for machmas mila because of a mila, and so the parents made the correct decision of not giving him a mila. So even still, he can't eat Karban Pesach. So who do I shechter for? For a group of Jews who are not circumcised. Or l'tameim, or a shechter for a group of Jews who are tamei. So in all those cases, pasul, it's no good. It's simply no good. Okay, for reasons that I shechted it for people who cannot eat it. For whatever reason. The Mishnah gave a whole bunch. So now, hacha pshita b'avod achas. Now, again, we're focusing on one point. Are we talking about one avoda or two avodas? There, it's one thought. It has to be one avoda. Meaning, one thought cannot be divided between two avodas. So it's one thought. I'm shechting it for a person who cannot eat it. So that clearly is one avoda. So this argument is a very simple argument. So if the next Mishnah is talking about one avoda, so our Mishnah is talking about one avoda. And again, the assumption is that the Mishnayos are dealing with one construct scenario. And the Gemara says, "Midi iria, not necessarily hakadisa v'hakadisa seifa b'avoda achas reisha o b'avoda achas abishtei avodos." And the Gemara says simply, "Okay, it's an argument, but not necessarily. It could be that the Mishnah that we just quoted obviously is talking about one avoda, but our Mishnah back on Untes Amud Beis that's talking about two avodas. Could be talking about two avodas. All right, Tashma. We go back to this next Mishnah." Again, we haven't learned the Mishnah yet. It's coming up on today's daf. And the Mishnah talks about the following. La'ochlav v'shelo la'ochlav. Let's say I shech the Karban Pesach and I have in mind people who can and cannot eat it. So now those are two thoughts. So I have now in my head while I'm shechting, hey, that group of people there, they can eat it. That group of people over there, for whatever reason, cannot eat it. And I have both groups in mind.
Is there any concept of the rove here? The rove is.
You'll see. We're going to get to, when we get to the Mishnah, we'll talk about this in more detail. Kusher. Now the conclusion is that's fine. Now hechi dami. Now exactly what is happening? Inam b'shei avodos. Now are we talking about during two avodos? The time of the chashav bezrika, and the reason why it's kosher, meaning let me just slow down just a little bit. Meaning what we're trying to do is, again, the basic analysis of the Gemara right now is trying to determine whether the Mishnah is talking about all these thoughts occurring in one avoda, or they have to occur in two avodas. So now what the Gemara is doing is quoting the Mishnah on Samach Aleph, today's daf, which we're going to get to hopefully, and it's the analysis is that Mishnah by force has to be talking about one avoda and not two avodas. Now, and then the argument's going to be, well, if that Mishnah is one avoda, our Mishnah is one avoda. That's going to be the argument. And you already can guess that the deflection is very simple, not necessarily, like we just said, not necessarily. That Mishnah could be talking about two avodas, our Mishnah is going to be talking about one avoda. But what we're going to do for the next minute or two is just see why it is, what the argument of the Gemara is, that Mishnah and Samach Aleph has to be talking about one avoda and can't be talking about two avodas. Why? So, I'm sorry, other way around. It's talking about one avoda, not two avodas. So, la'ochla v'shalo la'ochla. So again, the case is where I shechta for people who can and cannot eat. So the Mishnah's conclusion is that's fine, that's kosher. Now, hechidami inei mebishtei avodos. So if your suggestion is that it's talking about two avodos, v'taima dechashiv bezrika. And let's think about this now. What did he have in mind? While shechting the Karban Pesach, he had in mind for people who can eat it. Check. And while sprinkling the blood, the Kohen had in mind a group of people who can't eat it. Well, isn't that going to be a disqualifier? The Mishnah says it's kosher. So we have to now try to envision why would it be kosher? V'taima dechashiv bezrika, and the reason why is because he had that machshava during sprinkling. Ein machsheves ochlin bezrika. And the argument would be, well, you know the reason why is because there is no such machshava of l'shalola ochlav during zrika. And Rashi explains, take a look at this last Rashi on the Amud. Nope, not the last Rashi. Rashi, four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Ein machsheves psul ha'ochlin kagon chol v'zaken poselis bezrika. Meaning, when you're sprinkling and you're saying to yourself while sprinkling, I'm sprinkling the blood of this Karban Pesach. For people who can't eat, that simply is it's ignored. Why? Rashi explains. D'bishchitahu d'ksive ochlin. Because this machshava of people who can versus people who can't eat only is significant if that machshava occurs during the shechita of the Karban Pesach, but not during any one of the other avodas. Why should that be? Rashi explains. Lefi achlo tachosu. Because the Torah actually says it. The Torah says, now the word tachosu, you're going to see that word a lot. That word means sheft. The Gemara later on will suggest maybe it's an Aramaic word. Aramaic words in the Torah, yeah, we have. There are others. So the word tachosu means tishach. The Torah says, lefi achlo tachosu. I shech the Karban Pesach for the people that eat it. So in other words, the only time where it's significant to have in mind people who can versus people who can't eat it is only during the Shechita. And so maybe here's the proper way to understand the Mishnah on Samech Aleph. The Mishnah says, I'm shechting for people who can and for people who can't. And the Gemara says, then let's assume that we're talking about it, that this Machshava was two different avodas. So now, while shechting, I have in mind people who can. While doing the sprinkling, I have in mind people who can't eat it. And as we just learned now in the Gemara and Rashi, that's just simply ignored. Meaning, that machshava of people who can't eat it simply is not a significant machshava during Zrika. So now, we think we understand the Mishnah in Samech Aleph. So, haba avod achas, so that would mean then, if we're right, so going back to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, haba avod achas kigom b'shchita d'mahanya be machshavas ochlin pasul. That would mean then that if I had both machshavas, not one during Shechita and one during Zrika, but both machshavas during Shechita, that would mean the carbon should be no good. But meanwhile, Hakaimel Amitzas Ochlin LaPasla. But we happen to know otherwise. Factually, it's simply not so. When you shech the carbon Pesach and you have in mind two groups of people, one group who can and one group who can't. And even if, and Ben, this is the point which you were raising earlier, which it's pretty clear from the Gemara, and even if only some of them can eat, and most of them cannot eat, it does not matter, as long as I have a portion of the group who are able to eat the Karban Pesach, so then the carbon is still good.
And if there's no rov yet.
Yeah, the rov, and the reason why, take a look at the last Rashi and the Amud, Rashi over here deals with this, kegon hacha denimnu bo ru'in lecha v'shach l'shem kulan kasher, da ha'kula shchita nami mishum ochlin tzricha. Rashi then writes, e'efsher l'kezayis basa b'lo shchita. Because even for that one person who can eat it, meaning how is he going to eat Karban Pesach? Only one way to eat it, shechting. Meaning, you can't get just a small piece of meat from that Karban Pesach without shechting. So the argument would be that even if most of the group, or let's even say all of the group except for one person can't eat the Karban Pesach, but for that one person who can eat it, he needs to shech the animal as well. So therefore, it comes out now that if during one avoda I have in mind people who can and people who can't eat it, we know that it would be acceptable. So now, right, hopefully you're still with me. So now we're going back to that Mishnah in Samech Aleph. Is that Mishnah talking about one avoda or two avodas? The Gemara was trying to argue it's two avodas, and the reason why is because the shechita for achila, the machshava for those who can eat is during shechita, the machshava for those who can't eat is during zrika, and the argument is, well, because we could just simply ignore that machshava during zrika. The Gemara says, yeah, but then the implied statement is that if I had both of those machshavas during Shechita, it would be no good. But we know otherwise. We know it's good. So Ella La Vavoda Achas. So therefore that Mishnah, the Mishnah on Samach Aleph, which we'll see later on, has to be talking about during one avoda, and now the Gemara is going to finish up this argument. So therefore again, if the Mishnah on Samach Aleph is talking about one avoda, our Mishnah back on Testament base is also talking about one avoda. And again, that resolves the original question, Midi Irya, and again the Gemara says not necessarily. Hakadisa Vakadisa Sefa Bavoda Achas, Vereisha. O bavoda achas, o b'shtei avodos. Could be that the Mishnah Samach Aleph is talking about one avoda, like you argued, and the Mishnah back on Nuntes is talking about two avodas. Okay, so I know that was a lot of work and no peros, no fruit to show for it. Meaning the Gemara spent not nearly an entire amud dedicated to one question. Our Mishnah Nuntes Amud Beis, when talking about the Kohen having two avodas. Two machshavas. Was that talking about where he had the two machshavas during one avoda, which means that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yossi? Or is the Mishnah talking about where he had the two avodas in two separate avodas? And the Mishnah can only be understood in the context of Rabbi Meir. That's the question, and the Gemara's answer is unresolved. We simply do not know. Okay. Moving on. Ivai Lehu. Pesach Sheshachtu B'Shayim HaSeshana L'Shma V'Shalo L'Shma Mahu. All right, let me give a little bit of background over here. Now, Karban Pesach is what? So as I already described to you, it's basically Karban Shlamim. Not exactly, but in other words, the easiest way to categorize a Karban Pesach is essentially Karban Shlamim.
Subcategory.
It's a subcategory of a Karban Shlamim. Shlamim, generally speaking, is a Karban that is Shechted, portion of it goes to the Kohen, the remainder of it goes to the owner eats it in Yerushalayim. Karban Pesach, essentially that. Shechted, And the meat is eaten by the owners of the animal, not by the Kohanim. Okay, so it's essentially a shlamim. There are some very basic differences between the Karban Pesach and the shlamim. Shlamim is eaten for 2 days with the night in between. Karban Pesach is only eaten one night, and according to some Tanayim, not even a half of a night. Okay, so in other words, there are some basic differences, but essentially it's a Karban Shlamim. Essentially. However, as we learned, there's a very basic difference. When it comes to the Karban Pesach, you have to have in mind, I'm shechting l'shem Karban Pesach, not l'shem any other Karban. For a shlamim, it's definitely preferable to have in mind l'shem Karban Shlamim, but if you don't, the Karban's still going to be okay. Now, the Karban Pesach is convertible. I think this is the first time we're opening ourselves up to this idea. You're going to see this idea come up again and again. Karban Pesach is convertible, meaning, let's say for whatever reason, we didn't use our Karban Pesach on Pesach. Okay, we had the goat, we set it aside, we dedicated it to Karban Pesach, and for whatever reason, 14th day of Nisan came and went, and the Karban Pesach wasn't shechted. Okay, fine. We'll save it for next year. If I'm not mistaken, I believe you cannot save it for next year, because then it will be too old next year. In other words, the Karban Pesach has to be within its first year. So it just simply will be too old for next year. So save it for next year, you cannot do that. What can you do? Any time after the 14th day of Nisan, you can shecht it as a shlamim. The Karban Pesach is convertible to a shlamim. And the truth of the matter is, it's convertible to a shlamim not only after Pesach, but even before Pesach as well. Any other day of the year, as long as it's not the 14th day of Nisan, if I shecht the Karban Pesach, I can convert it to a Karban Shlamim. Okay. So this conversion of a Pesach to a Shlamim. Now, okay, that's a starting point for this discussion. Now the Gemara wants to know the following. Look, Karban Pesach on the 14th day of Nisan, what have we established? That when you shecht it both Lishmo and Shelo Lishmo, you have disqualified the Karban. Because that Shelo Lishmo has uprooted the Karban. Okay. How about this? I wonder, says the Gemara, if let's say we take the Karban Pesach any other day of the year, not the 14th, but simply any other day of the year, and I shecht it Shelo Lishmo, not L'Shem Pesach, which you actually get a pat on the back for doing that, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to convert it to a shlamim, and then you also have in mind lishmo. I shechtet l'shem Pesach. So the Gemara's question is that also going to be a disqualifier? Meaning, on Pesach I know that both machshavas are going to disqualify because the shelo lishmo machshava that you had, upsets the Karban Pesach, disqualifies it. So now when I'm taking the converted Pesach into Shlamim during any other day of the year, the correct machshava to have is Shelo Lashmo. What if in addition to that I also have a Lashma machshava? Is that also going to be disqualified? It's almost like the negative image of the Karban Pesach on Pesach itself. This is the Gemara's question. The Gemara entertains. So, Karban Pesach during any other day of the year, where he had both machshavas in mind, both the lishma machshava and a shelo lishma machshava, what would be the result? Can the shelo lishma basically overshadow the lishma machshava umachshir, which means that it would be good? Now, I know this Gemara is very hard to keep in mind, because remember now, it's whatever you know to be true by Karban Pesach, it's opposite now. In other words, on Shari Yemos Hashana, what we want is the opposite machshava. We want a shelo lishma machshava. So now, basically, the question is it going to follow the same rules as Karban Pesach on Pesach or not? So we discussed this and we brought this in front of Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Yirmiya says, look, I'll just create a simple equivalency. Rav Yirmiya's answer is very simple. It's equivalent. Just like on Pesach itself, the correct machshava to have is lishmo. When a person injects a shelo lishmo machshava, he disqualifies it. So too, rest of the year, the correct machshava to have is shelo lishmo. When he injects a lishmo machshava, he disqualifies it. So Rav Yirmiya says, very easy, very good argument, very simple argument, it's equivalent. I keep saying Rav Yirmiya says it. It was said in front of Rav Yirmiya. So Amar Li, so Rav Yirmiya's response to me is lo. I don't think you can create an equivalency. Imar mart b'shalol l'shmo shekein noeg b'chol hazvachem. Tomar b'lishmo shekein eino noeg ela b'chol hazvachem. Eino noeg b'chol hazvachem ela b'pesach b'lvad. I can see a very simple difference. You see, a shalol l'shmo machshava, that's bad all the way around. That is universally bad. Meaning, shelo lishmo is a bad machshava by Karban Pesach, by Karban Chatas, and truth be told, by any Karban. Now, by all other Karbanas, as we already discussed, it's not going to disqualify it, but it upsets it. Okay? So in other words, the shelo lishmo machshava, I can hear very easily the argument of that it's going to upset and disqualify the Karban Pesach, because that's a universal disqualifier. But let's talk about this lishmo. Where else do we have this idea that when I shecht the karban, for its sake, it's going to disqualify the karban? And the answer is very simple. It is an anomaly. It doesn't exist by any other karban. By any other karban, when I'm thinking, I'm going to shecht this l'shem, this karban, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. The Karban Pesach, on 364 days of the year, any day other than the 14th day of Nisan, there, to have the machshava of lishmo, it's an anomaly. This idea of, oh, that's not the right machshava to have. So, since this lishmo machshava for the Karban Pesach, Shari Mos Hashana, is such an anomalous idea that it's going to disqualify the karban, maybe it's not as potent and not as destructive as the machshava of shelo lishmo, which is universally bad across every karban.
Can you just base that point? Why don't all the karban for shavuot?
In other words, no, because they're not convertible. This discussion is limited to Karban Pesach because the Karban Pesach itself is a convertible karban. I could take this very animal, which I designated for Pesach, and as long as it's not the 14th day of Nisan, I can bring it as a shlamim. But what I have to say when I bring it any other day of the year is, it's not a Karban Pesach. In other words, I have to convert it to another Karban. Which is why, oddly enough, if I say it's a Karban Pesach, let's say I bring it on the 23rd day of Nisan. If I say it's a Karban Pesach, that's no good. But that's an anomaly. meaning it's the only time we can envision, I'm bringing karban, I'm declaring what it is, and it's no good. It's an anomaly. So the Gemara, so what Rav Yirmiyah's counter-argument is, the shelo lishmo disqualifier is a much more universal disqualifier than the machshava of lishmo of Karban Pesach any other day of the year. So my havela, so the Gemara now wants to try to come to a conclusion on this question. So I'm a Rava Pesach Sheshach B'Shayim HaSashana Lishmo V'Shelo Lishmo Kasher. If I shech Karban Pesach any other day of the year, both Lishmo and Shelo Lishmo, it would be Kasher Da'astam Lishmo Kai. And Rava's argument goes like this. Look, again, let's take a Karban Pesach. Let's move it to the 23rd day of Nisan. Okay, after Pesach is over. And we know, in other words, I ask the question, what is it? It is a Karban Pesach. So in other words, already it stands as a Karban Pesach. V'afilu hachi kishach alei shelo lishmo kasher. And meanwhile, what am I going to do? I'm going to say, as I shecht it, this, I'm not shechting as a Karban Pesach, I'm shechting as a shlamim. Essentially what Rava's argument is that, truth be told, is that I always have two machshavas in mind. Meaning because it stands as a Karban Pesach, and I'm saying, no, it's a shlamim. So every time I shecht it, I'm essentially having two machshavas in mind, and the shelo lishmo is going to be an override on the lishmo. Ama aser shelo lishmo umapik le midi lishmo. So that's generally speaking what happens. So kishachinam lishmo v'shelo lishmo aser shelo lishmo umapik le midi lishmo. And so therefore, if I happen to articulate both machshavas and I say, hey, you know what I'm doing right now? It was a Karban Pesach. I'm shechting it as a Karban Pesach and as a Shlamim. It's basically the same, isn't it? This is Rava's argument. Isn't it the same as if I didn't say anything at all? Meaning if I just simply said, hey, I'm shechting it as a Shlamim? Yeah, but we know it was a Karban Pesach and I'm shechting it as a Shlamim. So, since its default is that it's a Karban Pesach and I'm having a Machshava Shelo Lishmo, that's basically like having two Machshavas. What Rava wants to argue is it's really no different than actually saying it's a Karban Pesach and it's a Shlamim. So Amalei Rava, Debarava, LeRava, Damashani, Hechad Amar, Mehechad Lo Amar. Really, you think that's the same? Meaning, can't you see a basic difference between verbalizing versus not verbalizing? The Hala Ochlav Shalola Ochlav Kasher. Because look, let's look at it this way. We know that, again, go back to Karban Pesach on Pesach. And I have in mind people who can and people who cannot eat it. Now the Gemara says, now we learned that if I only have people in mind who can't eat it, it's not a good shechita. Right? It's that machshava is going to disqualify the carbon. Now there, can't you... All the people can't eat it. Now can't you make the argument, look, Karban Pesach is by default meant for people who can eat it. By default. So can't you make the argument, well, look, since the default of this is for people who can eat it, and I'm saying I'm shechting it for people who can't eat it, so can't you say that would be the same as me actually saying people who can and people who can't? Now, if I said that, people who can and people who can't, the shechita would be kosher. So you see, there's a very basic difference between assuming a certain default and me saying one thing versus me actually saying both things. Elishani hechad amar mehechad lo amar. Clearly there's a difference between the two. So achinam ishani hechad amar mehechad lo amar. So look, let's now move it to our scenario. Our scenario is it's a Karban Pesach, not on the 14th day of Nisan. Now, you're right. The default is it was a Karban Pesach. That's the default. But it makes a difference whether I say I'm shechting l'shem Karban Pesach and l'shem Karban Shlamim versus me just saying I'm shechting l'shem Karban Pesach. In other words, me just saying I'm shechting l'shem Karban Shlamim. There's a difference between assuming the default and actually stating both. Amalei midi irya. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if I'm ready to accept this comparison. Bishlamasim kamadolo akar lebishchita stam evad l'shmo kai. Because look, when it comes to the Karban Pesach, how did I dedicate it? I dedicated it as a Karban Pesach. So of course its default is going to be Karban Pesach. El hacha, but here in the case of having in mind people who can and cannot eat it, hacha stam al ochlav kai? What do you want to tell me? That the default of the Karban Pesach is for people who can't eat it. That's not. I don't know if that's a default assumption. What we'll talk about later in the Masechta is that yes, people have to register for the Karban Pesach, but even after you register, you can withdraw your registration. So in other words, let's say as a Daf Yomi, we're going to all agree, hey, we're registering over this Karban Pesach. At any point in time, all of us could just simply withdraw our registration before the Pesach is Shechtin and just simply join another group. So in other words, it's not a fair assumption to say, hey, I have a Karban Pesach, therefore there's got to be people who can eat it. Not necessarily. So the Gemara basically says, and we know this, it's a Mishnah, we'll see the Mishnah later on. People can register and withdraw registration up until the point of Shechita. So again, the question of the Gemara, let's just quickly review. The question of the Gemara is, during Shari Mosa Shana, let's start off like this. On Pesach itself, when the person Shechti and he has two machshavas in mind, Lishmo and Shalom Lishmo, that disqualifies the carbon. I wonder, asks the Gemara, what if now it's a converted carbon Pesach, meaning carbon Pesach during the other days of the year, where what you need to do is you need to have a Shalom Lishmo and you add a Lishmo Machshava. So the question is, just like on Pesach, having both, the Shalom Lishmo is going to upset the Lishmo during the other days of the year, is the Lishmo going to upset the Shalom Lishmo and disqualify this carbon? That was the question. Is it equivalent? And the Gemara also did not resolve this question as well. Okay, next. Ibailu. We are in the Gemara now. Ibailu. Where the Gemara, five lines down from the bottom of the Amud, first wide line on the Amud, and now the Gemara is going to deal with another question. Pesach Sheshachtu B'Shayim Oseshana B'Shinu Ibalim Mahu. So, how about this? Okay. Now, again, it's fantastic. Really, everyone here has to know, myself included, myself primarily, has to know basic halachos of Kachim in order to really appreciate these Gemaras. When dealing with a carbon, I'm speaking now in very general terms. When dealing with a carbon, so there are two bad machshavas that the Mishnah principally speaks about. One is what's called Shinui Kodesh, and the other one is called Shinui Balam. Okay, Shinui Kodesh, what's that? What we've been talking about, it's a chatas, and when the Kohen Shechtet, he says it's a shlamim. It's a ola, and when the Kohen Shechtet, he says it's a chatas. Okay, Shinui Kodesh. He had another type of carbon in mind. So again, if I did that with a carbon Pesach, with a carbon Chatos, it disqualifies. It's a posa. Okay, that's one type of bad machshava. Another type of bad machshava is what's called Shinui Balim. Shinui Balim is where the Kohen has in mind another person, not its rightful owner. There, again, by the Chatos and by the carbon Pesach, it's going to be a disqualifier. Good. So we have two different types of Shinui Machshavas. Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balam. Here now the Gemara entertains the following question. Again, I have a Karban Pesach. I didn't use it on the 14th day of Nisan. I could use it any other day of the year, but I must convert it to a Shlamim. How do I convert it to a Shlamim? So like we said, it's very simple. When I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, I say, I'm not bringing it as a Karban Pesach, but I'm bringing it as a Karban Shlamim. Meaning, what do I have to do? I have to have a machshav of Shalom Lishmo. We just dealt with the Gemara's question, what if I also have a machshav of Lishmo? And again, that question is left unresolved. But in other words, you have to have a machshav of Shalom Lishmo. That Shalom Lishmo machshava is going to convert it from a Pesach to a Shlamim. Good. Now the Gemara wonders, let's say I don't have a Shalom Lishmo machshava. What if I don't have Shinui Kodesh? But let's say I have Shinui Balam. Meaning, any other day of the year, I have the Karban Pesach, I shecht it. I don't actually change the designation of the Karban, but what I do is I change its owner. I have some other owner in mind. Now, generally speaking, we speak of that as a bad thing. Over here, the Gemara wants to know, is that going to be a good thing? Meaning, again, we're converting. What we want to do is we want to change the Karban Pesach to a Karban Shlamim. So the best and most effective way to do that is by Shinui Kodesh. That's what you really want to do anyway. But what if instead of Shinui Kodesh, Shinui Balam? So again, think of it. It's really, in other words, a lot of these Gemara is very conceptual. Shinui Balam is enough to pasul a Karban, Chatas, and a Karban Pesach. Is it enough to convert it from a Pesach to a Shlamin during Shari Yom HaShanah, during the other days of the year? This is the Gemara's next question. So, Ibayilu Pesach Shashach to Shari Yom HaShanah, Shinu Ibalamau. Shinu Ibalam, Kashinu Kodesh Dami. So, the Gemara's question basically is Shinu Ibalam tantamount to Shinu Kodesh? Umachshirle? And therefore, again, in this context, that's good. That now converts it from the Pesach to the Shlamim, Allah, or maybe it's not enough. Amar Papa, Amisa Lushmaita Kameh de Rava, and again, Rava, who's our principal arguer on these issues, I told you, I've fascinated many times how the Amorayim dealt with these types of, these are very heavy Kachim questions. And the Amorayim are discussing it in Bavel, a couple hundred years after the destruction of the Bayit Sheni. And they're grappling with these questions as if they are, you know, meat and milk questions, as if it's, you know, tzitzis and tefillin questions, meaning they are immersed in these topics of kachim, even without a Beis HaMikdash. So Amrisa Kala L'Shmaita Kama D'Rava, and Rava's response is, Ho, Vishinu Kodesh Poslo Bizmano, Vishinu Balam Poslo Bizmano, Mashinu Kodesh Shaposlo Bizmano, Machshir Lachazmano, Avshinu Balam Shaposlo Bizmano, Machshir Lachazmano. So Rava does what he did before. Rava's argument is equivalency. Meaning, if it's good enough to disqualify, it's good enough to be Machshir. Shinui Balam by Karban Pesach, good enough to disqualify the Karban Pesach. So if I have the Karban Pesach any other day of the year, Shinui Balam should be good enough to convert it to a Shlamim and make it good. So this is Rava's argument, and Rav is consistent with the same argument that he presented earlier on the daf. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. So v'amar li lo. Im amar b'shinui kodesh shekein posel begufo v'yeshna ba'arva avodos v'yeshna la'achamisa v'yeshna b'tzibur kibiyachid. Look, Shinui Kodesh has four notable exceptions. I'm going to go through each one of them. Has four notable exceptions. But let's hear the argument first. Tomar b'shinui ba'alim de'ein psula begufo ve'eina ba'arva avodos ve'eina la'achamisa ve'eina b'tzibur kibiyachid. And Shinui Balam doesn't have any one of these four notable exceptions. And so therefore, what the Gemara now wants to argue is, Shinui Balam, Shinui Kodesh are not equivalent. Shinui Kodesh is more of a disqualifier than Shinui Balam in these four contexts. And therefore, Shinui Kodesh is enough to convert the Karban Pesach to a Karban Shlamim. But maybe Shinui Balam is not. Okay. Now, so let me just quickly go through each one of these four. The four basically go like this. Number one, I'm going back now back to the bottom of the bottom line. Number one, Shinui Kodesh is posel begufo. Well, what does that mean? So basically means that by Shinui Kodesh, I'm actually thinking about the carbon itself. Meaning, what was the carbon? It was a Pesach. What did I think? Another type of carbon. Shinui Balam is not intrinsic to the animal. It's about the owner. So, in that regard, it's not the same. Now, the Gemara will admit in just a moment, so what? Meaning, when all is said and done, is it a bad machshava? Yes. So, this first distinction, the Gemara in just a moment is going to say, I don't know if that's such a wonderful distinction. But let's move on to the next one. V'yeshna ba'arva avodos. Okay, this is a tricky one, but Rashi spends a lot of time explaining this. Yeshna ba'arva avodos. Look, by Shinui Kodesh, what's the story by Shinui Kodesh? Any one of the four avodos, shchita, kabal sadam, holach hazrika. If I think during one of those four avodos, this is not a Pesach, it's a chatas. It's not a Pesach, it's a shlamim. That's it. End of discussion. Disqualified. We all go home, and the carbon's no good. When it comes to shinui balim, an owner having a machshava of an owner in mind is only significant during zrika. but not during the other avodas.
It has to be because for that's for the sake
of it. Right. That's true by Karban Pesach. And Rashi makes that. That's why Rashi is long, because Rashi goes on to explain that by Karban Pesach, its primary function is to eat it. The eating is accomplished through shechting. That's why by Karban Pesach, shechting becomes critical. But in general, generally speaking, why is the owner of the karban interested in the karban? Zrikas Adam, sprinkling of the blood. The chief objective of every karban is so that its owner receives a kapara. And that kapara is achieved and accomplished at the point of Zrika. So the owner really cares most, and it's most significant during Zrika. So therefore, when it comes to Shinui Balim, that only becomes a significant and disqualifying intent only if that intent occurs during Zrika. Now, again, to be a little bit more detailed, Rashi does point out, you can have that machshava during Shechita, but the machshava that you have to mind is, while I'm shechting, I plan on sprinkling the blood for another owner. In other words, it all basically comes back to Zrika. Shinui Balam, I'll say it simply, even though it's not 100% accurate, Shinui Balam is only effective during Zrika. Shinui Kodesh is effective during any one of the other avodas. Okay, that's another notable difference between the two.
The korban remains valid, do you continue with the rest? And
no, in other words, if we're talking about Chatos or Pesach, that's it. It's disqualified. Okay, Yeshna la'achar misa. Another point to consider is that the owner of the korban dies. Under certain circumstances, the son has to bring the korban. Okay, but the owner's dead. What if there's shinui balim once the owner's dead? Okay, again, just a moment of honesty. The owner's dead already. So, Shinui Balam is not going to be disqualifier once the owner of the animal is dead. What about Shinui Kodesh? It's always going to be disqualifier because it's on the animal, not on the person owning the animal. And finally, what's the last one? Yeshter B'tzibur Kibiyachid. Carbon Sibur. Can I change the owner of a carbon Sibur? The answer, of course, is no, because there is no owner. The owner is the public. Now, and as Rashi points out, you can't think of another nationality. It's not going to help, nor is it going to hurt. Right. For this carbon seabor, I'm not bringing for the Jewish people, but I'll bring for the Egyptians. Right? In other words, a lot of unrest in Egypt. That doesn't do anything. It's not going to be effective, ineffective. So in other words, there's no Shinui Balam for a community, Shinui Kodesh. If I brought a carbon seabor, let's say the Olas Tamid, and I say, this carbon I'm bringing as a shlamim, that's it, you've upset it. That's a disqualifier. Well, the example I gave is not a disqualifier, but it's going to, it's low, alo lo balim, it's not going to help, it's not going to be an effective carbon. So again, there are four notable differences between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balam, which is basically the Gemara saying to Rava, I don't like your equivalency. You were arguing that on the Karban Pesach offered any other day of the year, just like Shinui Kodesh changes it to a Shlamim, Shinui Balam also changes it to a Shlamim. And the counter argument to Rava is, no, Shinui Kodesh is a much more serious disqualifier. Shinui Balam is not as serious, so Shinui Kodesh can make that conversion from Pesach to Shlamim, Shinui Balam may not. And now, just to finish up, I just want to get to the Mishnah. Tomorrow we'll start fresh from the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, and this is a very detailed point, but we're going to go through it, obviously. Now, of those four distinctions, two of those four, I know, the Gemara says, I know you can quibble with two of those four. Tartamia Davka. The Mishnah, Shinui Balam, Delo Havika, Psula Begufo, De Psula Machshava Ba'amahi. I told you about this Gemara earlier. The Gemara essentially says over here, look, this idea that Shinui Kodesh is about the animal, and Shinui Balam is about the owner, and that's different. The Gemara says it's really not, because when all is said and done, it's all based on a machshava. The Gemara says, and another distinction we made is, well, post-mortem, there is no Shinui Balam. The Gemara says, you remember the Gemara back in Zvachim? I know this really, right? It happens to be Rav Pinchas Bered Rav Ami the Amar Yesh Shinui Balam Achamisa Michael Amemer. It happens to be that not everyone subscribes to that as well. Some are of the opinion, some are Amoraim are of the opinion that there's Shinui Balam even post mortem. So okay, fine. So I know you want to quibble with two of them, but tarte mia dafka ninu. But two of them are specific, meaning two of them are true. Meaning this idea that there's no shinui balam by tzibur, that everyone accepts. There's no shinui balam by all four avodas, that everyone accepts. So again, it just comes back to the same point that shinui kodesh is more of a disqualifier than shinui balam. Therefore, by karban pesach shai motzei shana, shinui kodesh converts it to a shlamim. Shinui balam may not convert to a shlamim. Ela marava. So Rava, therefore, after hearing all this, Rava says, you know what? I'm going to give you this one. Pesach Sheshechta B'Shar Yemos Hashanah. The carbon Pesach Sheshechta outside of the 14th day of Nisan, any other day of the year, B'Shinui Balim Nase K'mishein L'Balim B'Zmano U'Pasol. So by Shinui Balim, you know what it's like? It's like not having owners in its correct time, and therefore it's going to be disqualified. Meaning, it's not enough to convert it from a Pesach to a Shlamim, and therefore it's not tantamount to Shinui Kodesh. Shinui Kodesh would be enough to convert it from a Pesach to a Shlamim, but not Shinui Balim. Okay. Again, these Gemaras, admittedly, these Gemaras are difficult. They're very conceptual. They deal with Kachim. I understand the degree of difficulty for these Gemaras is a higher degree of difficulty. Right, that only means that it's going to be more rewarding when we understand it. I encourage we all review these Gemaras. They're very they are difficult.